Father, in the name of Jesus, we're excited about your word. Hallelujah. I just can't hardly wait to get into your word. Your word has such life. And Father, today as I preach the word, we don't want it to be understood with our natural ears, but we want to understand it with our spiritual ears and spiritual mind. So that, Father, our natural mind can just be dominated by it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, I got to talking about receiving the promises through to the manifestation. Receiving the promises of God through to manifestation. And I want to clarify something. What I mean by that is that most believers in their mind, they don't see themselves as receiving the promises of God. When they ask, they always have a mindset that when it manifests, they've received the promises of God. The manifestation is not the receiving. It's the results of what was already received. See, this is something that many people don't understand, the voice of faith. The voice of faith does not speak on this wise. I will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or I will ascend into the deep, that is to bring him up. The reason the writer, which was Paul, even made that statement is he was clarifying that every promise of God in his word is a completed work. It's already done. It's established. That's why the writer, whom I believe was Paul, when he wrote the book of Hebrews, he was exhorting the converted Jew not to go back to Judaism. They wanted to abandon Judaism and they wanted to abandon Christianity and go back to the foundation of Judaism. And Paul, the whole reason of the whole book was to exhort them not to do that. See, he says, don't go back to that house, that tabernacle that has been abandoned. And all as it was is a types and shadows of that which is to come. People, we don't walk in the shadow any longer. We have songs about being in the shadow. We're not of, the church today is not of the shadow of God. Right. That's past tense. We are now in the very person that casts the shadow. Right. We're in the person, the completed work of God. We're in the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not in the shadow. We're in the actual reality of a completed work in God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is what we've got to realize. And so, when you see, if you're not acting on what you do know, you get bored with it. If you begin to act on what you do know, it'll get more exciting to you. That's why a lot of Christians are bored. Because they seem to think they've got to get some more knowledge and some more information and some more input to feed their boredom. But listen, if you take even the basic principles of what you do know and act on them, you'll kindle a fire in you you've never known before. You'll get excited again. Right. Because the Word of God is meant to live in our life through excitement, not in a form of boredom. You know, whenever I start getting bored, God reminds me, why are you bored? And then right away, He's able to open up and tell me why I get bored. It's because I'm not acting what I do know. I'm not applying the principles of God's Word daily. Most of us, we don't realize how we literally choke the Word of God out of our life. You know, that word choke literally means to squeeze until you remove life. Mark 4. Turn over there to Mark 4. It's a good place to reiterate what we shared with last week. Now, we're talking about receiving the promises through to manifestation. Again, I want to tell you something. The manifestation is not the receiving. The receiving is first. It says, whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you shall receive, and then you shall have them. You see, it's when you believe that you receive, not the manifestation. I hear people all the time, even in our church, well, I'm a believing. I'm believing. I believe that I've received. I says, do you believe that you have it now? Oh, I believe I'm going to have it. And I said, no, wait a minute. Do you believe you have it now? Well, yeah. I said, no, you don't. You don't believe it. Why? Because you wouldn't have slipped up on what you were saying. Mm-hmm. You see, your joy should be full when you ask, not when you see it. See, that's the mindset that we have as believers. You know what our problem is? Believing the Word of God. You know what our problem is? We're in a first world country. We're not in a third world country. That's our problem. We are kicked back and we are so taken care of. And, you know, I meant, if things get tough, man, we don't need God. We can just go and bypass God and get it for ourselves. You know? But I'll tell you, we get in some of these third world countries and you learn to know what it means to believe God for something because you just don't readily have it available to you. That's when we went to Mexico, we ministered in Mexico. I thought it was very interesting that the Catholic Church would dominate and take every dime that the people would literally produce for themselves. Now, you know, an average worker there in Mexico makes $6.30 a month. And half of that had to go to the church. And yet the church never produced anything for the people. The people then had to rely upon doctors and other people. And so they were always strapped financially. So when we went in there as a Harvest Time Tabernacle and began to minister to these people, man, the power of God could flow. Man, these people were getting healed. And I said, God, they just received the word so simply. We make it so complicated. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Hatton, don't even know what you're saying. The minister himself can go to a place in God to receive that anointing that's ready and available and pour it out on the people. And then through that, they receive from God and then they get turned on to God. I'll never forget going to this hall to speak one night and ran across this little blonde gal, elderly lady. Man, I looked at her face, and she had a smile on her face. She had seen that smile. Man, you just couldn't even hardly look at her. You just saw the glory of the Lord beaming out through her eyes. And she was on fire for God. And I said, why are you on fire? She said, oh, Pastor, if you'd have known what God's done for my life. She said, you have no idea. And so she told me her name, and I recognized her name from some brochures that I had seen on Woman's Aglow, and she had spoken at Woman's Aglow. She had a testimony. She was dead. She was dead. She should have died a long time ago, full of cancer, just full of it. And she heard that, I think it was through Kenneth Hagin Ministries, she had heard that you can have what you say. She got a hold of that. She spoke that cancer right out of her body. Praise God. And so I got excited for her. She says, you can't tell me healing ain't for today. They're all nuts when they don't believe that. You know, she's just on fire for God. I just enjoyed being around her. She was just a blessing. She's followed our ministry for several years until I went to Rhema, but she was just on fire for God, you know, but her mind was set. And she said, you know what? She says, I not only got healed of that cancer, she says, I got healed of every opportunity of sickness coming down from the pike. She'd always apply that principle, you know, that she had been taught. Now, notice it says here in Mark chapter 4, that's where I had you turn, right? I don't want to do that to you like I did last time. Mark chapter 4, notice what it says here. It says, verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, let's turn forward here in Mark 4 and let's look at some other verses. He says here in verse 24 and verse 25, he gives us some statements that are pretty powerful. And he said unto them, take heed to what you hear, because what measure you might, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Actually, I want to read this verse to you in the Greek. And he said to them, take heed what you hear with, because what measure you measure, it will be measured to you, and it will be added to you. And what he's literally saying is that your hearing is the ability to plant seed, the seed of God's Word, in you. It's your hearing that does that. Now, you're born of God, and that's where the verses say, His seed, you've been impregnated by His seed, which remains in you. When it says that, he's not talking about the scriptures of promises there. He's talking about the life and nature of God through the new birth. That seed has been planted in you. You've been conceived of God. Are you following what I'm saying? See, some people get the promises of God mixed up with some verses that say, and His seed remains in you. That's talking about the new birth. The life of God in seed form is planted in you, in your spirit, that is. Not your head. Not your head, but in your spirit. See, the life and nature of God's planted there. Now, the promises of God, or the seed of God's Word here, when it's planted into the spirit, then that spirit will cause this seed here to grow, to come alive, or to manifest, better term. Excuse me, I have to blow my nose. Part of the bodily function that I get tired of sometimes. Now, notice what he says in verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now notice this. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. A better translation would be, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of its own accord. Of its own accord. So, if I take the promises of God's Word and I plant it in the ground, then the ground is going to determine what's going to happen with that seed. Right. Are you following what I'm saying? And so I want to remind you that if I learn how to plant the seed of God's Word in my spiritual being, the spiritual part of me, then it will affect the carnal side and the natural side of my person. And this is where Christians miss understanding what faith is really all about. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to get a hold of this, because I've learned it the hard way, but I've learned it. Over in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance. You ever thought of faith having substance? My Bible says it does. But here's the trick. Now faith is, now, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, are you ready? The evidence of things not seen. Now here's the thing about this word hoped. The word hope can be translated desire. It can be translated hope, or image, or vision. Now, I want you to notice that verse. Pay attention to me, because this will uncomplicate faith. We make faith complicated, because we try to seem to operate our faith on the manifestation level rather than on the spiritual level. See? And so it says here, now faith is the substance, it has substance, of things hoped for. And he goes on to say, it is the evidence of things not seen. Did you get that? I never got it until I read that thing and read it, and I finally got it. It is the evidence. What is the evidence? My hope, which is my faith, is the evidence. The evidence. The proof of something you can't see. Finally dawned on me what was being said there. Duh. Somebody says, oh, well, I know that I'm believing God. I know that I'm believing God. Why just don't I see it? I said, because your failure is still in your natural thinking. Mm-hmm. It's still in your mind. You cannot have faith in God when your what you can see speaks louder than what you can't see. Is this getting a hold of you? Is it getting a hold of you? You know, we as believers were prone to fear failure. I've learned, this is your pastor speaking now. I know you all look at me as Mr. Incredible. I know you all think, because I'm here at the pulpit, I can do no wrong. Thank you. How come you're all so quiet on that one? Maybe I'm a legend in my own mind, but you guys don't know it yet. And I realize that everything I do and everything I say comes to pass. I never have any failures. I never have any feelings. Why? I've arrived. Why? I wouldn't be behind this pulpit here. Praise God. This validates the proof that I'm a success. I'm glad Sue is on the ocean with my daughter and her friends for her birthday and not here to hear this. She'd probably be the one on the front row to just go, yeah, right. Wendy, you know, I said, Wendy, it just seems like Casey can't do anything wrong. She said, well, you just don't live with them. You really get to know a minister when you live with them. But you know, thank God one day Sue did tell me, she really has faith when my mind's set. She said, when your mind is not set, I know that I got to come in as a helpmate. She does. Listen, you're going to make mistakes. You don't have to fear failure. Why? Because failure is only failure when you give up. I always look at as when I make mistakes and it seems like failure, it's not really failure. It's just another opportunity to do it again. You know, that's just how you have to look at it. Oh, we'll just go down this road again. You know, that's why it saddens me why so many believers get so sick and tired and give up on God. It's because they're trying to make something work rather than letting God work in their heart to where they're not trying to make something work. They're resting in God to let God's Word work on their behalf. And that's why Hebrews chapter 4, Paul, the apostle, I believe, who was a writer, was encouraging people to enter on into a rest. And what he was talking about is the mind has to rest. It has to find a place of rest in order for God's Word to work. And most of us are trying to get God's Word to work in a mind that doesn't know how to take rest. And if your mind doesn't know how to take rest in the Scriptures or promises of God, then what's going to happen is you're going to give up. Mm-hmm. You're going to cast away your confidence. You will be discouraged. That's two words. Discouraged. God wants you to be encouraged, right. Not discouraged. Right. You know, I'm going to tell you something. God's Word, the Bible says, is spirit in their life. It means that it works if it's planted in the right ground. And that's why in Mark chapter 4, he said, if you hear correctly, if you hear the word correctly, the principle of that word, He says, then when you put that into the right ground, the good ground, though man sleep and rise day and night, he says he does not know how it works, but it comes forth, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and then the manifestation of all that you planted in your spirit will come out. And where do you think that manifests? It manifests on your natural being. But listen, the receiving of the seed of God's Word starts where you can't see it. And that's why Hebrews 11:1 says that. It says, now faith is the substance, the tangibility of that evidence of that which is not seen. And there's where our mind gets tripped up, because if we don't see it, we don't believe we've got it. Listen, if you believe you've got it, you will eventually see it. You will. Now, I want us to capitalize on how can I keep God's Word alive in me? Have you ever really want to know the simplicity of doing that? Well, first of all, you have to take the fraction against the equation and multiply that by the thermal equation of the double digit acclimation. Would you do that again? Now, there's a man that wants it broke down right. Here's the simplicity. Notice it says, these things enter in and choke or remove the life of God. Did you know you can have God in your mind, the Word in your mind mentally, and no life is there? Well, what makes the Word live? Well, how many of you know that I'm pastor? What if I never said anything, there was no life in me, but I entered in every day faithfully right up to this pulpit and turned around and went, and that's all I ever did. You guys said, we'd find a new church. I'm not talking about your reaction here. I'm talking about, you wouldn't think there's any life in me, right? I mean, hey, this man's dead. Why are we even attending the place? You know, well, it's the same thing with the Word. You know about Jan Butler, but if Jan Butler doesn't have any life in him, what good is he? Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says, but if the Word of God hasn't any life in you, then it doesn't matter what it says. Because there's no life. Well, how do you get it to have life in you? The most difficult, hardest thing on planet Earth. Extremely difficult. Extremely hard. Are you ready? Is this one little secret. Extremely hard. Extremely difficult. Take control of your thinking. You know, I'm not kidding on that. My mind has a tendency to rock and roll whatever way it wants to go until I take notice of it, what it's doing, and I tell it to stop. It is very difficult to control your thinking. It's not easy. Matter of fact, when I made a decision, I wasn't going to let my thinking have its way. I thought, easiest thing in town. Easy. Easy. I woke up the very next day with an uncontrolled thought life. And halfway through the day, it dawned on me. What's going on in your thinking? God had to bring me back to my remembrance. Our carnal mind is... I want to give you a little clue. Your carnal mind is crazy. It thinks what it wants. It does what it wants. It says what it wants. I mean, it's whacked. If you think you need a psychiatrist because you have a carnal mind, you're right. And God needs to be that psychic. Trouble is, we have to go for a natural psychic that needs help himself. Now, notice, he says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of its own accord. So literally, if the fruit is allowed or permitted to ripen within me, it will manifest itself. Right. But the thing is the mind. So turn over to Isaiah 26, and we're going to be closing on this one, Isaiah 26, because I wanted to get further in this. I want to bring it down to you as to where you can say, wow, I can do that. I can do that. Okay. Am I permitted to say something here? Sometimes your best friend is your worst enemy. And I'm talking about self. I walk around with myself, my natural self, and I find I'm learning more and more. He is my worst enemy. I'm talking about the carnal side of my life. Carnality. When he walks with me, I can't stand me. If that makes any sense to you. The carnal side of my life is my worst enemy. And guess what? He is your worst enemy. Why? The Bible tells me, even in his thinking, he's in rebellion to God. If we just get a revelation, our carnal mind and our flesh, it don't like God. If it liked God, we wouldn't be in the fix we're in. So, I want us to look at a verse that I'm going to open the door up for you, then we'll finish this next Sunday, the Lord willing. In Isaiah 26, notice verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, listen, I've learned something about our carnal mind. And God has an answer for the carnal mind. The answer for the carnal mind is find a place to put it in order for God's word to work. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of that? So I have to look at myself as having one soul, but two sides to that soul. I have what you call a spiritual side to my mind, and I have what you call a natural side to my mind. The natural side of my mind has been programmed by this world. The spiritual side of my mind needs to be renewed to dominate the natural side of my thinking. See. Now, I know you've heard before that the spiritual mind doesn't need renewed because all things become new. Wrong. It is your spiritual mind that needs renewing because it's been circumcised from your natural mind. When you got born again, you had a distinct, separate spiritual identity take place in you that is contrary to your natural mind. They are separated by the Word of God. I wouldn't have known that I had a natural mind except the Word of God cut it, separated it through the Word, and made my spiritual mind in one place and my natural mind in another. Until you get that revelation, boonk. Now, before the circumcision, which took place in my spirit. Before I was circumcised, my carnal, my spiritual side of my soul was one with my carnal mind. They were one. There was no separation. That's why he says in Romans chapter 2 verse 26 that circumcision is that of the heart, and he defines it in the spirit. And so what God does when you get born again, he comes down and he, through an act, the spiritual act, I don't know how it's done, he separates my spiritual being from my natural being. And when he divides them, that's when your eyes open up and you go, bing! Wow! Things look so differently. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the act of the Holy Spirit separating my spiritual being from my natural being. And I can't tell you how that's done, but it's done. That's like when I went back to my seat to sit down after I got saved, and I was in La La Land. And Sue looked at me, and I looked at her, and Sue says, "Don't you feel different?" "Yeah, I do." "Do you know how?" "Uh-uh." But I did. How many of you felt that when you got saved? You felt different. You felt cleaned. You felt like something. You didn't have this about baptism of the Holy Ghost. You didn't have none of that. You just knew that something happened. Then you struggled with the tongue issue. You know. But you knew something happened. And that's what you call circumcision of that of the heart in the spirit. See, and once your spiritual side of your soul was separated from the carnal side, then your spiritual mind went, "Woo! Wow! I have a separate identity all of a sudden." Amen? Yes, amen? Now here's the thing. Your spiritual mind, I'm doing this for teaching illustration. Your spiritual mind right away goes, "And to think I partnered with him." Now here's another kicker. Guess what your partner that's more carnal than spiritual? You have to live with him for eternity. If that's the case, then I'm going to say, "Well, look, buddy, if I have to live with you the rest of my eternal life, you're going to change." That's just the way it's going to be. We're going to live like God. Now, if that carnal mind has his way, oh, no, we're not. Why? I don't think like you do. You got that right, Jack. I used to think like you do. Now, I need to get new insight here so I can come against your thinking. Why? Because I got to operate through you. And if I got to operate through you, you're going to change, not me. Are you following what I'm saying? So then you turn, somehow your inner man has the ability to turn to God and say, "Now, this is how I used to think according to this guy. But I don't think this way no more, but I don't know how to think. So if you will put how to think in me, then I will attack him and get him to change." And God say, "Okay, Holy Ghost is going to be the answer." Holy Ghost gets on the inside of your spiritual mind, and he begins to work with that thing, and you rise up and you grab a hold. Stand up here, carnal. He just had a birthday. He's a good example. John, your carnality. You're the carnal side of my soul. You're housed in fit flesh, but, and I'm spirit. White hair, intelligent beard. That's what they all say. "Gee, since you're growing that beard, you look smart." I'm keeping this puppy. No. Here John is. Then when God's light of his word that is planted in my thinking has to go through this guy. So the only thing that the word can do to this guy is tell him, get humble. Are you humble?
No.
Oh, he's going to be good. This is going to be good. This is good. Well, get humble.
Don't want to.
Don't want to. Okay.
Want my way.
You want your way. Yeah. This is where God has to get your attention. According to the book of James here, it says that you are to humble yourself and receive with meekness the implanted word. So what God is trying to do in me is to get my natural mind to humble itself, to let this word, this seed, which has the ability for life, to get on the inside of me. Now, you ready? As long as he's in control, God will not speak to me. Why? Because your soul, this guy and you, he's housed in a physical being. I'm housed inside him. Are you following me? But he's the one attached to the physical side. Follow this. If you get a hold of this, this is going to help you. Now, as long as this soul is in control of the thinking processes, you literally shut down the Holy Spirit's ability to speak anything to me.
True.
From this.
True.
Why? That's because God has designed the soul, the carnal mind, the natural mind, to be in control of its own destiny. Mm-hmm. Hello? And so what John has to do is the Holy Spirit has got to nudge him to get into this, so that he will run across some things that is necessary to get to me, and he has to shut his ability down to control that thinking and just simply meditate that word. And when he meditates, it's coming through him to me.
You mean I can't go by my feelings?
You can't go by your feelings. You can't go by your emotions.
Not fair.
You already gave me the word, so I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. Praise God. You're the idiot. Praise God. Are you getting this? Because sometimes the word will speak to you in such a way that your natural man, he's in rebellion to it. But you've got to give him a little grace because he only knows what the senses tell him. smell, see, sight, hear, all that garbage, you see. But if he will just bypass that voice and let it come to here, then when God speaks to me,
right.
Are you ready? The minute I hear it, he's affected by it.
Right. Amen. Yes.
He is. Yes. Why? Because my spiritual part of my mind is not going to leave my natural side of my mind out of the process. Why? We are connected together, yet divided by the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is quick and sharper and powerful and more dividing than anything else.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why when the Word of God says what it says and what He's saying what He says, I can stand firm
right.
until He gives in.
Yeah.
And the more you give in to the Word of God, the less voice he's going to have against the Word of God. So he's not getting renewed. He's getting dominated. He's getting saved. He's getting delivered. See, most of your mind renewing that's taught by words, when I taught them, put the natural mind in the right environment and it'll get renewed. And I knew that, no, wait a minute. What if I took and put my natural mind in the environment of someone who's not dominated by God? That's why the inward anointing in 1 John is so powerful to understand. If you have this inward anointing working within you, then the influence of this outer circle has no hold on you. That's when he said you need not that any man teach you. And he's talking about the glory of men teaching you. It's not that I can't receive from a man, but boy, immediately, if I'm plugged into what I am spiritually, I'll cut that puppy right off right away. Because the Holy Spirit's number one job is to protect us against deception. If there's a ceiling on the teacher, then the ceiling will be on me. If the ceiling is not off the teacher, the ceiling will be off of me. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. Oh, Roshekedet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is good stuff, Maynard. This will get your house cleaned up.
Yep.
This will get your kids restored. This will get your friendship bonded closer together. This will get your commitment to your church better.
Yep.
This will get your commitment against your body greater.
Yes.
Your body won't be telling you what to do. Some people, I swear, that's all they know is their body. That's what I was saying. Okay. Where are you going? I said, let's go sin. Let's go do it. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you rise up by the Spirit within you, then you'll find out you got a war going on. Some Christians are looking for an easy way to respond to God. There is no easy way to respond to God when you got flesh in the way. When you take and you prick your flesh, you've got a warfare going there. That's why he said a guy had to be born again. Because if he followed the Spirit, then the flesh can't have what it wants to have. Galatians.
Amen.
If it feels good, it's got to be God. I'll tell you what, whenever God got involved with me and my flesh, nothing ever felt good at all. Got news for you. The easy way out is the hard road when it comes to this natural man. He ain't going to be easy to deal with. That's why that suffering scriptures are in there. If a man's suffering, he's ceased from sin. The writer knew what he was talking about. We always look for the comforts of our flesh. I'm just like you. I wake up one Sunday morning. Oh, dang. Church. Oh, no. This is the pastor's going to be there today. Oh, no. Honey, I'm tired. God will bless me with the day off. Don't worry about it. I can have God in my own home. First time I pulled that. I went the whole day without even thinking about God. Till the end of the day when I go to lay my head down, my little nightly prayers, God would do the old hello. So you stayed home today. You took a sabbatical, huh? You know what taking a sabbatical means? It means set aside a holy day as unto the Lord. It don't mean vacation. Somebody told me, I need to take a sabbatical. I look at them. Hardly ever see him in church. Hardly ever see him talking about the word. Hardly ever see him involved with anybody. Why are you taking a sabbatical? Our church is just wearing me out. I feel overwhelmed. Don't feel overwhelmed. And don't go telling me you're taking a sabbatical. Just say you're taking a trip on God. I'm going to close, but how many of you ever heard of Jerry Savelle's testimony? I never laughed so hard in my life. Where he got fed up with his wife, his friends, and ultimately he was fed up with God. And so he was going to take a vacation from God. And he told the story about taking a vacation from God, and I never laughed so hard in my life. The stories that he brought up about how wherever he turned, there was God. It's incredible. I wish I'd memorized that sermon. You know, it was so good. But listen, you can't vacation on God. All you do is just shut him down in your life. But we're going to learn how easy faith can really work. You know, the Word of God's designed for simplicity, not complications. And so this is going to help you because it's helping me right now. Praise God. Faith is working in me now, people. I know it is you. Whether it's to a limited degree or I like what Nalette said. If our prayer life is the generator of our home, will we have lights? I thought that was so neat. I looked at Tim. You remember what I said to Tim? No, Tim said it to me. Tim looked at me and says, candle. Remember you said that? I thought that was funny. Candle. Oh, mercy. Well, isn't that true? If your prayer life, your indication of the word input in your life is your generator of your house, how far would you go electricity-wise? Did you get something here today? Praise God. Stand up, everybody. I'm going into a seeking time with the Lord here. I need to get some answers on how to get the hearing, not only more across for us in our church, but also by television. I just want to seek God for some specific areas, and I believe I'm going to get the answer. Amen. Amen. God will give you the knowledge, but He'll give you the impartation of wisdom. I'm going to share some wonderful things with you next week along the same line. We're going to look at Isaiah 26:3 in depth. And I want to share something with you about those words that are there. It's very powerful and how it's worded. It's going to help you in your faith life. You know, I cry out to God. I want faith to work a lot quicker and a lot stronger in my life. And boy, when you seek God like that, He start giving you answers. It is found in the Word of God. Praise God. But put such hope in you. When you look at that word hope, that's going to be a powerful word for you. You're going to like it. Again, hope can be translated whatever you desire. It can also be translated dream. Dreams. Hallelujah. Very interesting, isn't it? Praise God. Father, I thank you so much for the word here today. As we shared it with your wonderful people. And I thank you for the operation of the word that will go to work in our heart and life. And how it brings such stability to our life. And it purges off the dead limbs so that we're not in distractions. Create success. Now I want you to just close your eyes just for a minute. And I want you to think upon what was said today. And I want you to think upon, meditate on it just a minute. And this is what I want us to pray together. Just think about the Word. Just a minute. Whatever impressed you in the message today, think about that thing. Okay? The Spirit knows the mind of the body of Christ. That's how He makes intercession for all of us, so that we can overcome the infirmities that seem like we seemingly can't overcome. Amen. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I want my carnal mind and my spiritual mind walking together, where two are in agreement, we'll walk together. If two are not in agreement, then we're divided. Make me whole in my thinking. Have the pastor bring the right words next Sunday. Bring a completion in what I meditate. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. And amen. Amen.